Good day, good people. I am Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Inner Beings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central. And whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being part of Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday was created as an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, the depths of your intellect, your will, your senses, your images. Yes, to open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of the human heart and human consciousness. Today, we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations. Each one of those is going to be followed by a minute of silence, where you're invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Our short and simple form of Lectio Divina. Resonate. Does something connect with you? It might be symbolized by a single word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect, an opportunity to ponder deeply, to meditate with images and thoughts. Can respond in all kinds of ways, by journaling, by prayer, by body movement, maybe even singing a song. And rest, just to simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After that, we're going to close with the spiritual practice. We like to share one each week and a time of group dialogue for those here on Crowdcast. Our theme today is the Franciscan Way. And so with an open heart, in the spirit of Francis of Assisi, with a calm, centered presence, and a gentle breath, we'll begin. Friends, in the legend of Perugia, an early account of Francis of Assisi's life, he shares a profound lesson with his followers: you only know as much as you do. And this emphasis on action, on practice and lifestyle, was groundbreaking, and it remains central to Franciscan alternative orthodoxy. For Francis and Claire, Jesus wasn't merely an object of devotion. He was a model to actively emulate. Before Francis, Christian spirituality revolved around desert asceticism and monastic routines, prayer theories, even academic theology, which often emphasized correct beliefs and liturgical rituals. All of that was devoid of practical application in daily life. What Francis did was introduce a transformative shift, highlighting the imitation and love of Jesus's humanity, not just the worship of his divinity. So, throughout history, the Franciscan school stood as a minority within Catholicism and within Christianity. It was never, ever condemned as heretical. However, it did offer fresh interpretations of Jesus' teachings, new perspectives, behaviors, and it focused on the profound implication of God's incarnation in Christ, present not just in Jesus, but throughout the world. Just as Francis would say, the whole world is our cloister. And Francis's starting point was human suffering. And he emphasized God's identification with it in Jesus. He preferred the fringes of society, championing inclusivity over exclusivity, mysticism over moralism, and he valued ego poverty over personal perfection. You can let me know later if you'd like to see those in the chat section. So Francis really embodied what we call a third way. And prophets like Francis challenge us to bridge the gap between belief and action. Now there seems to be a universal disillusionment with churchiness. We Westerners in particular have really overplayed the church card for much of the last 1,000 years. It's kind of like the messenger overtook the message. And that preoccupied us with the churchy conversation. And it took our eyes off the cosmos and the very whole of which we are already a part. You see, we naturally participate in the universe. And remember that nothing dies. It just keeps changing forms. So what we have is a natural foundation for what we call resurrection. And that isn't a unique belief of Christianity. It's the very shape of the cosmos. To use our common language, it dies and it transforms and it arises again in a new form. And what this leads us to is a whole new partnership. We are part of it. But sadly, what happened was we said that our form of knowledge was the only true form. And all those other knowers were ignorant unbelievers. But we can't do that anymore. We now know that truth is one. And we're all just seeing it from different angles and different levels. And just because one group uses the vocabulary at one level and those in our group use a vocabulary at a different level, what right do we have to say our vocabulary is the only true description of the universe, of reality? So friends, religion is no longer a spectator sport, an observing of some distant, far-off truth, like many of us have heard in our own churches. But it is an observing of what is true in us, and what is true in us is true of the cosmos. It is one reality. It's all one reality. And Francis of Assisi's emphasis on this emulating Jesus through action, inclusivity, and a deep connection to the cosmos, it challenges us to move beyond rigid beliefs and embrace a more inclusive and interconnected spirituality. So perhaps maybe you want to think about what steps can you take to deepen your connection to the cosmic and universal truths in your spiritual journey. So let's pause here to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Friends, compared to typical Western Christian theology, Franciscan theology really understood Jesus's passion story in a much different way. You see, they saw that the whole thing was motivated by love, that Jesus's crucifixion didn't solve any problems with God or change God's mind about us. God's mind didn't need changing. Rather, what was happening was Jesus was changing our mind about God. And what he was saying was that God's freedom has to be maintained at all cost. You see, if God needed or demanded a blood sacrifice to love God's own creation, then God was not freely loving us. And Christianity is grounded in love and freedom from the very beginning. You see, the great mystery of incarnation is motivated by love. It's saying, I am a part of you. That's love. And Christianity creates a coherent and positive spirituality. It draws us toward lives of inner depth, towards lives of prayer and reconciliation and healing and universal at-one-ment. So what we see on the cross is Jesus bearing the consequences of hatred. He's bearing it publicly, but in an utterly new way that consists of forgiveness and letting go. And what we call resurrection isn't just Jesus's body, but it's for all of history. You see, a new and possible storyline is set forth. Now, I know there are a lot of people that are drawn to Franciscanism because of its connection with nature. But this understanding of the Passion of Christ is what has drawn me in. And if God and Jesus are not hateful, they're not violent, they're not punitive, they're not torturing or vindictive, then our excuse for the same is forever taken away from us. You see, Jesus' entire journey told people two major things: that life can have a positive storyline, and that God is far different and far better than we ever thought. And the essence of the prophetic task — Francis was certainly a prophet — the essence of the prophetic task is to articulate a vision of the common good that has the power to capture the imagination of people as a goal worthy of struggle and sacrifice. Where is that sermon in our churches today? You see, the prophetic call is to change sides and embrace relationship with those on the margins, just as Jesus did. In a social structure shaped by exclusion of the leprous, the ritually unclean, the non-chosen, the women, the possessed, tax collectors, sinners, what did Jesus do? Jesus embraced them all, right? Nobody got uninvited from Jesus's place. He embraced them all individually and as social groups. I think there was a deep recognition that so many people are trying to change other people, and Jesus knew that the only thing that was going to change anybody in any way was going to be God. So we might as well give up and go love them. Let God do what God does. You see, Jesus' very identity was one who proclaimed the good news to the poor, who announced the inbreaking of the reign of God, and who lived the announcement by being at the side of the poor himself. And encountering the impoverished, walking for a while in the world of the marginalized, and being with the have-nots of our world, it's really a necessary aspect of the discipleship journey. Is your church or spiritual community talking about being disciples, yet not walking alongside the marginalized? Our souls are touched by the encounter as well when we do this. And sorrow over the pain and injustice of impoverishment and marginalization, it really fills the crevices of our being. Deep mourning over the social conditions that make people marginalized. Are you having that communal lament in your groups over this? Doing that may be the first step that we non-poor can take to internalize the Beatitudes. It really is what solidarity means, not thoughts and prayers and candle vigils. Weeping and mourning help create us as a whole people. And if joined with righteous indignation at the injustices that cause marginalization, right? That's anger turned toward creative energy. That's what can lead us toward a relinquishment of the power and privilege that maintain injustice, and toward a solidarity with those who are poor in their claim on justice. And these teachings, they remind us that Jesus' crucifixion wasn't about changing God, you know, but about changing our perception of God and embracing a spirituality rooted in love, freedom, and solidarity with the marginalized. So as we step into the silence one more time, perhaps you might want to reflect on a moment in your life when you felt a sense of solidarity with someone marginalized or disadvantaged. How did that experience impact your understanding of spirituality and your connection to the teachings of Jesus? Take a breath, friends. Let's take time to resonate, to reflect, to respond, to rest. Now, Francis of Assisi, he spent long hours in prayer, often in caves and mountains or places of solitude, places where he could distance himself from the very busy everyday world, where the knowledge of teachers is outside, friends, the passion of the lover enters. It's love, not knowledge, that allows us to enter into the great mystery we call God. The God, the overflowing goodness of God, and the humility of God. And Francis came to know the God of humble love by meditating on and imitating the poor and humble Christ. He patterned his life after the gospel, simplicity and humility of Jesus. Jesus, whose self-emptying and letting go of power and prestige and possessions was at the heart of his divinity. You see, divine power is found in downward mobility and identification with human suffering. And God's love for the world is expressed in solidarity with the least of these. Solidarity. Not moral support. Solidarity. And the glory of God is found in identification with the salt of the earth, the most vulnerable people, the poor, the disabled, the leprous. And friends, so this incarnation of Christ, it means that Christ is one of us, is one of us. And it also means that God feels our pain and rejoices in our celebration. Better than none, equal to all, in need of God's grace. And depending on God's gifts for life itself, we find God in the least of these. And we serve Christ by letting go of power. And we let go of power in order to become siblings of all creation. And that's why Francis of Assisi could say things like, brother sun and sister moon. Brother duck and sister turtle. So now, I want to share with you that there could be an opportunity, a real time for a Franciscan Renaissance. A Franciscan Renaissance would be ecological, nonviolent, economic, and inclusive. And Brian McLaren and Patrick Carolan, and I'll share these links in the credits as well, they have proposed this Renaissance that addresses both the crisis in the world at large and the crisis in the Christian church. That's what this possibility of a Christian or a Franciscan Renaissance could do. First, at this time of ecological crisis, the Franciscan legacy is powerfully ecological. And we need a spiritual vision that integrates love for God and love for our neighbor with love for the earth. That might be a good little mantra or poem that you could even type into the chat. Love for God, love for our neighbor, with love for the earth. The ecological vision of Francis was about interconnectedness of all creation, interbeing, so that we see every creature as sister or brother. Second, In this time of violence, we need Francis of Assisi's message and example of nonviolence as never before. You see, Christianity began as a nonviolent peace movement. It began as a community known for love. And this idea of a Franciscan Renaissance would invite us to become nonviolent mirrors of Christ for others to see and follow. Third, the Franciscan vision is deeply economic. Francis of Assisi exemplified this alternative value system where the poor, the leper, and the outcast matter. They matter much more than money and luxury and power. So a Franciscan Renaissance would help us rediscover the priceless beauty of the earth and its creatures, including our neighbors and ourselves. Fourth, friends, we live in a time of exclusion, of division, of classism, racism, and religious prejudice. So we really do need the example of Francis and Claire, who clearly modeled deep inclusiveness and solidarity. Francis even teaches us to refuse to discriminate between Christian and Muslim and Jew and atheist, for we are all loved by God. So in embracing these teachings, we collectively can rediscover a path that leads us toward a world where love, humility, and interconnectedness guide our actions, fostering a spiritual awakening that transcends the boundaries and unites us all. So as we prepare to go into the silence one more time, perhaps you want to think about, how can we practically incorporate Franciscan values like ecological awareness, nonviolence, economic simplicity? How do we incorporate those into our daily lives to really nurture a more spiritually fulfilling and socially responsible existence? Let's take time to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Well, friends, our spiritual practice this week is called Original Beauty, and it comes from Dan Riley and Stephen Copeland. It's really a Franciscan approach to Lectio Divina. which embodies a unique perspective on spiritual contemplation. From these bustling marketplaces to humble mountain seclusions, from the faces of the poor to the eyes of the lepers, you see, the Franciscan way perceives the presence of the divine in every corner of the world. It is a recognition that the reign of God is ever present and is manifested in every creature. And the essence lies in patient observation and deep listening. This patient observation and deep listening allows beauty, depth, and interconnectedness to naturally reveal themselves. You don't have to think it into existence. And it's through this practice, right, for patient observation and deep listening, this is the practice that peace and freedom actually become the catalyst for meaningful action and service. The very concept of justice as the restoration of original beauty, that resonates deeply with the Franciscan Lectio practice. So this spiritual practice encourages us to discern and embrace the innate beauty that surrounds us. And that gradually nurtures us toward a life rooted in truth and freedom. And so what we're saying is we're called to seek the living word in everything. Patiently observe and listen deeply. To find God's presence beyond the confines of the church and the classroom and the crowdcast. So that our world becomes a sacred text. And the act of opening ourselves to it is a profound spiritual endeavor. And as we engage with both the Bible on one hand and the world on the other, we discover the divine presence in every face and everything, inviting us to marvel at the reflection of God looking right back at us. Well, friends, thank you for your presence, your open heart, and your loving kindness. This is a point of our evening where we say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners. Thank you for being here. And we'd love to share this reminder as we say goodbye that love is the way, the Franciscan way, and that you are love. So stay awesome. Be Franciscan, be love, and we hope to see you again soon. Blessings to all.